In Syria today, President Bashar al-Assad made an effort to ease tension after weeks of popular protests and deadly crackdowns. State television announced orders by the president to release detainees who were swept up in the recent unrest. It has been a bloody time in Syria. More than 200 protesters have been killed in the past month, although exact numbers are very difficult to confirm. We're going to talk now with a longtime observer of conflict in the Middle East, Robert Malley. I returned from a trip last week to Syria. He's director of the Middle East and North Africa program for the International Crisis Group. Welcome to the program once again.
Thanks for having me.
You were in Syria meeting with members of the government. What was their view of the protests?
Oh, you know, I think they are about as taken aback by what's happening as virtually everyone else. And they're playing catch up. And what you said about the announcement that President Bashar made today about reforms, that's the pattern. Every Thursday they make an announcement, as I was there last Thursday, some reforms to try to placate some disgruntled part of the population. And they do it on Thursday because Friday is a day of prayer, Friday is a day of demonstrations, and Friday, unfortunately, is often the day of violence.
The crackdown on protesters has been pretty brutal, a couple hundred dead, more than that wounded. Is there anything that President Assad can do at this point that will actually satisfy the protesters, or has it gone too far already?
I think that's the question. I think their hope is that they could do enough in terms of reform and enough in terms of crackdown. They want to isolate those parts of the country because it's not yet a national uprising. It's an uprising that takes place in two, three, four cities. And they want to try to sort of cordon them off, use repression there and reform overall, and hope that that mix can buy them enough time to sort of placate that part of the population that needs to be placated and repress that part of the population they want to repress. It's not clear it's going to work. We don't know where any of this is going anywhere in the Arab world.
Now, I understand that you did not meet directly with President Assad, but I wonder what your sense of him is. After all, he was regarded at the outset as being interested in big reforms. Then he pulled back. Does he actually want to reform things, do you think?
Well, my impression is twofold. First of all, I think he understands the economic plight that his country faces. I mean, one would have to be blind not to see it. And to that extent, he knows that he's going to have to reform the country. On the other hand, the notion that some people have had over the years that he could reform the country against his own regime, that was the illusion, that he could turn against the very pillars of support of his regime and become a revolutionary that would lead a revolution against those who brought him to power. And that's not going to happen. And so it's not a matter of him being stuck. It's that he is part of the very regime that today is trying to save itself, and it's not going to save itself by committing suicide.
How would you describe what the U.S. interest in all this is? To help the Assad regime save itself and maintain a stable Syria, to help them be thrown out so that it would thwart Iran's influence? What is the U.S.?
I think this is one of those very complicated cases, and one could judge the complexity by the ambiguity of what the administration and the shifting tone of the administration. I don't think that they saw it as to their advantage to have instability in Syria, partly because they didn't know what's going to come next. And we don't know what's going to come next. It's not a society that the U.S. knows that well. There is a history of Islamist activism. On the other hand, of course, if you were to tell anyone in the administration that tomorrow you'd have a government that would be less pro-Iranian, that wouldn't be providing weapons to Hezbollah, that would be prepared to make peace with Israel, I think they would take it. So it's really a question of fearing the unknown, fearing instability, which could come, you know, at a great cost to many, many Syrians. You have minorities, religious and ethnic minorities, who could suffer greatly. So I think the administration was hoping that the regime would reform enough. As the toll mounts every week, they're inching towards a much tougher position.
You've worked in the Middle East and followed the region for years. How do you place what's happening right now in Syria in the context of the history of the region and also of uprisings in nearby countries?
Well, first of all, I think once again it goes to prove that nobody's immune and that it could happen anywhere, and we just will only know it after it happens. I think the paradox of the Syrian situation is, on paper, Syria is much less important than Egypt. I mean, the fact that Mubarak fell should be more significant than whether or not Bashar al-Assad falls. And yet, because Egyptian foreign policy basically didn't have much of a role over the past several years, the shift in power in Egypt hasn't changed much of the geopolitical map. A shift of power in Syria would have tremendous consequences for the U.S., for Iran, for Lebanon, for the rest of the region, and that's why so much is at stake.
Robert Malley of the International Crisis Group, who recently returned from a trip to Syria. Rob, thank you.
Thank you.
You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.